Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. It is the low-definition Martin Zender greeting you from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, hanging in there just like you, ready for this eon to end. It's like hanging out by the street corner. Only members of the Body of Christ could be asked, say, at a street corner, what are you waiting for? Or just standing on your front porch looking at your watch, what are you waiting for? Waiting for the end of the eon. Only the Body of Christ. We have such a rich expectation, and it comes to us apart from our acts. God sees us as he sees Christ. And this is a miracle. God decided to do it that way. Martin, why did God do it that way? I don't know. God wants to share his glory with other beings, and so he just lavishes the beings with an expectation that is beyond anything any human can drum up. That is to be with him, not only with him, but at the right hand of God, which is a place of power. And none of us deserve it. None of us. We just sometime during our lives come to a realization that we have been designated beforehand. Why us? Exactly. Romans 9, Jacob and Esau, before any one of them, either of them, could have done anything good or bad, God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Hate, in this case, being relative to the love he had for Jacob. Before any of them could have done anything, good or bad, that the choice may be of God. And there it is, that the choice may be of God. And then what does God do? He gives faith to accord with the calling. Over the weekend, a friend of a friend was here, and we were talking about church and why church is unhealthy, unholy, and completely unnecessary. And it's always a good starting place. I talked about teaching your kids the gospel. And another great starting place is Acts 17. God does not dwell in temples made by hands. So the answer is not to be found in church. So this friend of my friend, she liked that idea, but she wasn't quite sold that the scriptures were the word of God. And the first example that she gave was Adam. It's like, well, you know, God says the first man, Adam, but then of course we know that it's a figure of speech. It's a parable for how, for what, I asked. It's a parable for evolution. It's a parable for evolution. How does a man being formed from the ground, whole, complete, at a ripe old age, how could that be compared to life sparking with no cause, life coming out of nowhere, and then telling itself how to develop from a tadpole to a Tyrannosaurus Rex? No. But she was still shaky on that. It's like, well, I don't know, because, of course, evolution is the most popular thing going. When I pointed out the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3, it blew her mind. She was like, couldn't believe it. I first asked her, is Jesus Christ a historical figure? Well, of course. What about Jesus Christ's daddy, Joseph? Well, of course, we know, but he was the caretaker. But what about Joseph's dad? Well, of course, he... So I went through that whole list in Luke 3, starting with verse 23 and going through 38, and Jesus' whole genealogy through Joseph is listed, and it goes all the way to Adam. So my question to her is, yeah, the last verse, let's go to the last two verses. Lamech of Methuselah, of Enoch, of Jared, of Mahlalel, of Canaan, of Enosh, of Seth, of Adam, of God. Well, there's nothing before Adam except God. Adam's father was God. I said, there it is. Now, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ was an actual historical figure, and his father was too. Where does this genealogy, where does it fuzz into fiction? At what point does it not become real? At what point do we start beginning a parable about evolution, and she saw the truth. Adam was the first man. I bring this up as a prelude to telling you about one of the most important consequential things that happened in the Garden of Eden, and that is the first sin. And we probably have molded over in our minds many times, what was the first sin? Well, it was disobeying God. No, that was not the first sin. This is the revelation of this show, this particular edition of MCTV, to tell you that disobeying God was not the first sin. I'm going to take a sip of coffee just to heighten the tension a little bit. Please excuse me for 1 second. You feel a little more tense, a little more, what is it, Martin? What's that? If it wasn't the first sin, if disobeying God wasn't the first sin, what could it possibly be? Well, let me ask you a question, and then maybe you'll come up with the answer to that question yourself. What is it that has been chosen by God as the means? This really goes along with my talk about how you can't pass on salvation to your kids on your coattails, on being related to a believer, on being the child of a believer. What is the God's chosen method for coming into life of the ages, aeonian life? It is faith. God absolutely loves to be believed. The word belief and the word faith from the same root word, pistio, in the Greek. God loves it. It's almost like he looks around at the angels. He looks at his son on his right hand. I don't know who's on his left hand. Maybe one of the 24 elders. And he said, did you see that? Did you see what just happened down there? Somebody who has never seen me, who is going through trial after trial after trial in their life, whose loved ones have died, somebody who's getting their ass kicked day by day, they believe my word. They read 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the Savior of all humanity. They read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a declaration of God. They believe me, though they haven't seen me. You know, I think that the beings in attendance would be excited about that. They would say, oh, that's great. And then they would kind of like, one of them, maybe one of the 24 elders, you have to expect this of them. Say, well, you did give them faith. So what would you expect them to do? That's irrelevant for my talk here. It might be a relevant conversation in that realm, but for here, it's faith. It is belief. It is believing God. That's the whole thing. Whether it's the gospel of the circumcision or the uncircumcision, they have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And of course, it has to be attended with works. We have to believe simply that Jesus Christ died and he did it for our sins, even though we never saw it. As far as I know, there's no actual historical record that Jesus Christ was an actual being. We do have archaeological evidence that Pontius Pilate existed. That's an amazing find, I think. But we believe these things, having never seen them. Hebrews 11. Faith is an assurance of things which are not being observed. Why is faith God's chosen vehicle? Why couldn't it have been like planting an oak tree? You know, or hopping up and down on a pogo stick from Chicago to Los Angeles. No, it's believing it. Because the first sin in the Garden of Eden was not believing God. Satan said to Eve, Shaba in the Hebrew vernacular, Eve's name, Shaba, mother of life. Satan said, has God said to die, you shall be dying? God said that he had your best in mind. And Eve did not believe God. Satan brought ambiguity into this announcement of God. Ambiguity in the mind of Eve. And because of that unbelief, because she was talked out of believing what God said. That led to the disobedience. That led to eating of the forbidden fruit. That is why the restoration back into a friendship, into a intimate, familial relationship with God, the vehicle of that is faith. It undoes, you see, it undoes the first sin. Believing God undoes the first sin. Kind of reminds me of Peter. Peter betrays Christ three times. We know that after the arrest. And later, after his resurrection, Jesus restores him. Why? How? No, how I should say. He goes to the same thing. He touches those same points. So three times Peter denied Christ. So three times Christ was going to make Peter affirm that he loved him. Because you see, lying about it, lying about his association with him, that's not good. That just affirms that you don't want to be associated with him if it's going to get you into trouble. So the restoration was point for point for point. For every denial that he knew him was an assertion, a confirmation that he loved him and would now actually die for him. Same thing here. Every time you believe God, in spite of your circumstances, of course, belief is a gift, but it's thread by thread by thread, you know, it's restoring the primitive beauty of God saying something and human beings believing it.